All right, let's pray and we'll get rolling. Father, I love you, Lord. I thank you for the day. I thank you for just a word that just fitly spoken from Jody, Lord. I thank you for allowing her just to come and share with us. So I do thank you for what you're doing in each and every one of our lives, Lord. I pray that with the time remaining, Lord, that you would just put me out of the way, that you would just speak to us, Lord, and that you would be glorified in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so it feels like it's been forever and a day since I've taught, but it's really good. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, and I don't have a ton of time, but we're gonna rock and roll. But the way that things just they fit together, right? Jody was talking this morning about how God just is completely against lying, and we're gonna look. If you have your Bibles open in Genesis chapter 27. We're just going to talk about this because this is a story that it just really fits right in with what she was talking about. And so real quick, let's do a little bit of review because it has been several weeks since I've taught. I do appreciate Chris teaching the Bible conference stuff a couple weeks ago, and it was good last week for us all to get together in the sanctuary and to hear about Lauren's trip and everything that's going on there. So I do pray that you guys would keep Lauren in your prayers. She's just trying to get back acclimated to just life in America, you know, because we've got it so rough here. So, but no, I do. It's been good hearing from her and just hearing about what God did in and through her life and what He's going to do now. So I'm excited. It's just really cool to look around and see how God's using you guys and to know that God's allowing me to be a part of it and Paige to be a part of it. It really is cool. If you ever get to the point where you're like, man, it just doesn't feel like God's doing much around here, come and let me talk to you about that, because I'm probably just going to smack some sense into you, because God is doing a lot around this church. And maybe He's not doing a lot right there where you're at. Well, praise the Lord. Keep doing what you're doing anyway, because God's doing a lot. And if you look around, you'll see it. Just in the last year, you've got the New Life plant directly out of here. What are they doing? They're rocking and rolling, right? And Lauren's been to India twice. And there's just all these things going on. And it may not feel like teaching the kids is doing a lot. It's doing a lot. Or whatever it is that you're doing, it's doing a lot. I promise. So just keep doing what you're doing because God's working. I do see it for sure. So, okay, I got to get rolling. So I liked it better when the clock wasn't working. I think it's fast anyway, so it's no big deal. I've got a clock right here. We'll go off of it. So we've been looking at Genesis, right? And I'm doing a chapter a week, like it or not, that's what we're doing. I think I'm going to get through it by the end of the year-ish, right? So I'm already making provision for maybe not getting there. But so obviously we're not hitting every simple little point. We could teach on this chapter alone for a long time, but we're not. I'm going to do it in a week. We're gonna hear about it. Basically, I want you guys to know what's going on throughout the book of Genesis. That way you can kind of put wheels on the wagon. You can kind of see what's going on. And at the same time, pull something that's pretty applicable to our life, right? Something that we can take and run with. Because it's really hard to figure out why whatever's going on in Abraham's life or in Isaac's life has anything to do with us. Well, that's my job, just try to find some way to make it apply to us. So, right, so Abraham's life took several chapters. We talk about Abraham for a long time, right? And so Abraham died, just like all of us do. Right? That's what happens. And then you get to Isaac. And so Isaac doesn't have near as much to say about the life of Isaac, right? He gets married, right? So Isaac's born. Abraham goes to sacrifice him. Next thing you know, he's getting married, even though he was already 40 years old. And then he has kids, you know, Esau and Jacob, and then most of that chapter is about them. And if you'll remember, you know, last time, or I think a couple times ago, you know, Esau sold his birthright, you know, for some really good tasting boiled root. I think that's what it was. So anyway, he sold his birthright, and then he follows. The last time we were here, we saw he followed right into Dad's footsteps. You know, hey, Rebecca, she's not really my wife; she's my sister, right? Trying to save his own tail, and he gets caught red-handed. You know, because he was sporting with his wife. You can figure out what that means, but and now today he talks about he's dying. So really quickly in a few chapters, whereas Abraham took a long time. So the last time we were together, real quick, I just want to, we looked at three things, you know, we could actually learn from, and I don't want to do a lot of review, but that we could learn from Isaac's doing the same thing Abraham did, right? She's my sister, right? And so there was three things, and real quick, I'm not even going to let you guys have much to say. You know, there's going to be some discussion later, but the first one was we can't replace obedience with good intentions, right? I think it's recorded, so if you didn't hear it, you can go back and listen to it. Second one was we have to start breaking the cycles of sin in our families. Another thing, talking about how it's really cool how the teaching and the Word of God around here just builds on itself. Chris wasn't here when I taught this, right? He had no idea, but I spent quite a bit of time talking about how we've got to break the cycles of sin in our family, right? And over and over, I really hit that point. The next week, Chris rolls in here with the Bible conference stuff, and he says the exact same thing that I said the week before. And I just sat back and chuckled because I'm like, that's really cool. He had no idea, right? And that's what the Word of God does. I'm like, somebody needs to hear this. I'm like, God, do I need to hear this? I don't know what's going on, but somebody in here really needs to hear this. That's just really cool. So we got to start to break the cycles of sin in our families. And the third one was we got to make Christ our example. We got to quit following men and doing things that men do because that's what men do. We got to start following what Christ does. Okay, so if you want to hear that, go back, listen to it. I don't have time. So, okay, real quick, at the very end of chapter 26, I want you to see this because we really didn't look at this, but this kind of makes a little bit of sense as to what's going on in 27 today. So the last two verses of Genesis chapter 26, it's talking about these wells and this, that, and the other. And this really has nothing to do with anything with what's going on in chapter 26. And it says, and Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Eliam the Hittite. Right? So basically what they're trying to say here is these were not of the line that God would want them to be. Right? And so, and it says in verse 35, which were a grief of mine to Isaac and to Rebekah. Just throwing that out there, maybe it'll make sense here in a minute. But so anyway, Genesis chapter 27. I'm guessing most of you are semi-familiar with this story, right? And it's a really long chapter. Let me just read some of it. I may read the whole thing. Follow along because I got some stuff to hit on when we get there. But just to kind of show you what's going on, you know, because if you'll remember, Jody said lying's never good, right? And, well, Jody said that God said lying's never good. So let's just read some of this. If you haven't read it, I'm sure most of you have, but so then it came to pass when Isaac was old, his eyes were dim so that he could not see, so he's blind. He called Esau his eldest son and said unto him, my son, and he said unto him, behold, here am I. And he said, behold, I am old. I know not the day of my death, right? I know what that feels like. There was a day that all of a sudden I woke up and I was like, man, I feel like I'm old. Maybe it's because all of our friends tell us that, but I feel like I'm getting old. I had to throw that out there. So, now therefore, I pray thee, take, I pray thee, thy weapon, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, and my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah, so this is his wife, I'm not sure if she just happened to be walking by, or you can just take it for what it is, heard when Isaac spake unto Esau his son. Now, real quick, before, in case you don't remember, Isaac was really into Esau, right? His son, the one that went out and did stuff, right? Hoorah. And then Rebecca was more into Jacob. He was a mama's boy. Let's just call it that. And those are my words. We'll say what it is, you know. Anyway, he was more of a homebody, right? And so anyway, that's what they had going on. I'm sure there's a lot more to the story, but God doesn't give us a whole lot of the story. But anyway, it says, and Rebecca heard when Isaac spoke to Esau, and Esau went to the... And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob, her son, saying, behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau, thy brother, saying, bring me venison, and make me savory meat, that I may eat, and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son. Now here's the O word, and it keeps showing up. So just, it says, obey my voice, according to that which I commanded thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, now, he must have been at least raised up semi, right? I don't think that's a good idea. Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father, peradventure, will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. So he's like, this probably isn't a good idea. And his mother said unto him, upon me be the curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she made skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck, and she gave the savory meat to the bread and the bread which she had prepared under the hand of her son Jacob. Right? So she went to a lot of trouble to make this work out, right? So she makes the meat, she takes the hair off the animal and somehow puts it on his skin, and I don't know. Dad must have been really blind at this point, is all I can say. So anyway, I'm gonna read a little bit more because the story just keeps getting better. And he said unto his father, or he came into his father, and he said, "My father," and he said, "Here am I. Who art thou, my son?" So all of a sudden, Dad's like, something's not right. And Jacob said unto his father, "I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me." And Isaac said unto his son, "How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord God hath brought it to me." Well, now God's brought into this thing. And Isaac said unto Jacob, "Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether it be thou my very son Esau or not." And Jacob went near to him, Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, "Thy voice is Jacob's voice, but thy hands are the hands of Esau." He must have been a really hairy dude, right? That's all I keep thinking. Verse 23, "And it discerned him not, because his hands were hairy and his brother's Esau's hands. And he blessed him, and he said, 'Art thou my very son Esau?' He asked him another time, and he said, 'I am.' And he said, 'Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee.' And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine and drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, 'Come now, come near now, and kiss me, my son.' And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment. And he blessed him and said, 'The smell of thy son is the smell of the field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore, God give thee of the dew of the heaven and the fatness of the earth, the plenty of the corn and wine. Let thy people serve thee, the nations bow down to thee, the Lord be over their brethren. And be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee.'" So he gets away with it, right? And I'm going to stop there because I don't have time. So basically right after that, Esau comes in with what he was supposed to do. He went and killed venison, brings it. All of a sudden, you know, Dad's like, "Oh, wow, not good." But he doesn't change his mind. And so we'll get into that. So that's the story for the most part. If you didn't know it, there it is. So after reading most of that, and we don't have a ton of time, but what do you think of that? When you read that story, when you read this and you're like, what do you think of that story? Right? Why is it in there? What's God trying to show us here? Give me something. When you read that, what are you thinking? How does God bless this? Right? Give me something. Chris, what do you think when you read that?
Well, I mean, kind of the sense that God's going to use the most unexpected people and situations. He's got a plan for everything, and even if they're not, you know, following his plan, he's still going to get glory out of it. He's still going to make it work for his glory. You know, even if we're not, even if we're doing something and it's not lining up with his plan, it's not going to change what he's doing.
I agree. I've read this several times in my life, and I'm like, man, couldn't God have used something else to make this work? Because he already had promised that it was going to be this way, right? So why'd it have to go down like this, right? Why'd it have to go down like this? And I will tell you right now, when I'm reading this week, and I'm like, man, I still don't know definitively, you know, how to go about this chapter, because I'm like, deceit is never good in the Bible. As Jody was saying this morning, I'm like, huh. But obedience is good over and over again in the Bible. So what is God trying to show us here? Well, I mean, he gets it done no matter what.
But look at all the stuff that Jacob and Rebecca actually lost. They didn't ever see each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's... Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. There are total consequences for this. After this story, she sends him off because Esau's wanting to kill him, right? Which, rightfully so, I'm guessing at the time. So she sends him off. "Hey, go hang out with my brother for a while." Well, guess what? He never sees mom again. There's several consequences that come with this, right? So, but God still gives them the blessing because it was designed that way from the beginning. So here's the main question I want to ask you, because we don't have a ton of time, right? So why do you think that God allowed the scheme to work in the first place? Why do you think God allowed it to work in the first place? I mean, there were a lot of things that had to line up just right, right? You got to get the hair just right on his arms, and he's got to have the coat of his brother on, so when he comes close and he smells like him, and what? There could a lot of things could have went and been like, no, this isn't right. Why do you think God allowed it to work in the first place?
Well, everybody has a free will. God doesn't always stop sin.
That's very true. Oh, yeah.
He could have stopped that, but he didn't.
Anything else? No, I think that's right on.
That's
but
not the way you were going to go.
No. That's exactly right, though. Hey, Paige, will you get me some water or some tea or something, please? Why do you think God allowed it to work in the first place? I mean, when you're reading through it, because I know you guys are, like, reading through the Bible, right, every day, you know, multiple times a day, I'm sure. You know, your life revolves around reading the Bible. I know it does, right? When you read this, why do you think God allowed it to happen? Why do you think God allowed it to work? Not so much happen, because we have our own choice on what we do. Why do you think God allowed it to work? I remember when I was lost, I used to try to get away with a lot of things, and it didn't seem like I ever got away with anything, right?
Maybe he wanted to see Esau's response.
Well, also, I feel like kind of his heart was, he didn't want to deceive his dad, but he obeyed his mom. And that's one of his authorities is his parents. So he was just doing what he was told, even though he didn't want to. But.
Well, we also know that the line of Jesus Christ had to come through Jacob. So if Esau got the blessing, then that wouldn't happen. So.
Right on. I think all of that's right. So here's two reasons that I have, right? There might be lots of them. Here's two reasons. One of them I'm sure of. The other are simply my thoughts. So I'm not. There's certain things that I will stand on this hill and I will argue with you to the day I die on. This is not one of them, right? Here's the first one. God had promised the blessing to Jacob, like Chris had already said. If you go back, you don't have to because we don't have time. My screen just went blank. Genesis 25:23. The blessing was already promised, right? It was going to go to the younger. It always said that, right? The younger would, or the elder would serve the younger, right? That was God's plan from the beginning. So that I do know. It happened because God said it was going to happen. Now, why did it have to happen like this? I don't know, but he said it was going to. Here's the second one. And like I said, I'm not dogmatic on this, but I do believe this. God blesses simple obedience. God blesses simple obedience. You might be like, well, he was lying. God blesses simple obedience. And like I said, I will not stand on this hill and I will not die on this hill, but I do believe that God blesses simple obedience throughout the Bible. I got to find it. I totally lost my spot. I hate doing that. Right? Time and time again in the Bible, God blesses simple obedience. Noah, I want you to build a boat. Okay, I'll build a boat. No, it was simple obedience, and him and his whole family were saved, right? Joshua, here's what I want you to do. I want you to march around this city 7 times and yell really loud, and the walls will just fall down. Yeah. That's a great plan, God. Why didn't I think of that, right? He blesses simple obedience. What about with Ruth, right? Ruth is like totally devastated, and she's like, I don't know what to do. And what's Naomi tell her to do? Hey, just go glean in the field. This is where you should go. Why? Just, that's what you should do. I'm pretty sure there was a pretty good blessing that came with that, right? Over and over again in the Bible, Jonah, the second time. Now, he didn't bless the disobedience, but the second time, okay, I will go to Nineveh. It only took, a whale swallowing me to get my attention, but what happens? He goes and Nineveh gets saved, right? And Jonah was all hacked off about it because he's like, I knew this was going to happen. Yeah, because God's true, right? Let God be true and every man a liar, what it says. Over and over again, right? The disciples, follow me. Okay, just drop it all and I'm going to follow you, right? Over and over again. Paul, this is what I want you to do. Okay, I'm going to not do this lifestyle anymore. He blesses simple obedience. What does that have to do with what we're talking about? Well, His mom says, over and over again, I underlined it, right? She says, obey my voice. And he even says after the first time, I'm not sure this is a good idea. Dad's going to catch on to this, and I'm not even going to be, it's not going to be a blessing to me, it's going to be a curse, worse than what I wouldn't have not got, right? And what does she say after that? In verse 13, she says, upon me be the curse, my son, only obey. Well, what do you do in that situation? What do you do? Only obey, right? The only thing I can see as I look at this, I'm like, God's blessing, simple obedience. Now, he could have used a million different other ways and it would have made this a whole lot easier to look at, but at the end of the day, he's blessing simple obedience. So what does obedience mean? And we talk a lot about obedience, probably more in this class than others because a lot of us have young families, and it's like we use the word obey in child training, right? And it's like, great, now they use the O word, right? Nobody likes the O word. It's like a curse word at our house. Man, mom said obey, right? Dad said obey, whatever. So I looked it up, and so this has got to be true because this is what Google told me, right? When you type in obedience, this is what it says. Compliance with an order, a request, or law of submission, or law, or submission to another's authority. That almost seems biblical. Submission to one's authority, right? That's completely countercultural in today's society. I'm surprised Google had it on there, right? But we look at obedience, at least Paige and I in our home, look at obedience differently. And I'm sure most of you have heard this, so I won't spend a lot of time on it, but we look at obedience with three parts in our house, right? Obedience has three parts, and most of you in this room could quote it because I've said it a million times, my wife has said it a million times. Obedience comes when you do exactly what I told you to do. Go take the trash out. Okay, well, here, so Brian, I'll use my son as an example. Brian, I want you to go take the trash out. I want you to get it, take it out, put a new liner in it, go get on the four-wheeler, take it to the dumpster. Okay, so if he pulls it out and walks to the end of the driveway, that's not obedience. Now, I'm probably not going to correct him until after he does it because I still need the trash in the dumpster, one way or another. But he did not put the liner in first, and he did not do it like I told him to do it. Now, you might say, at the end of the day, it got done. Okay, this is a pretty simple example. Okay, you're right, it is. But next time when I say, Brian, when you're out with your friends, I need you to do this, this, and this. Okay, well, he might do those things, but he might go about it a different way that's pretty deceitful, right? So you train them in the simple things. Do it exactly like I told you to do, right? That's the first part of obedience. The second part is immediately. If I say Brian, or we'll use Brenton this time. If I say Brenton, I want you to take the trash out, right? Take it out, put a new liner in. Take it to the end of the driveway, put it in the dumpster. Okay, Mom, I need to finish what I'm doing first. Okay, immediately at that point, it's not obedience anymore. It's disobedience. It might be in 5 minutes, I'm going to do it. It might be when I get around to it, I'll do it. It might be, hang on, I'm in the middle. It doesn't matter. If it's not immediate, it's not obedience. When God tells you to do something, you need to drop what you're doing. You need to do it. Obedience comes when you do it exactly like I told you to do, when you do it immediately, right? And these are very practical. I mean, we're talking about taking the trash out. Come on, Jason, get real. Take this to any other circumstance of life, right? Immediately. Here's the third part. And this is the one that, man, I have a hard time with sometimes. You got to do it with the right heart attitude. You got to do it with the right heart attitude. I can say, boys, go take the trash out, put a new liner in it, go and do it. Why do I have to do that? Because I told you to. I don't want to do that. Why can't Hallie do it? Why can't, or I don't hate taking the trash out. At this point, it's disobedience. You might do it. You might do it exactly like I told you to do it, but you know what? You did it with a bad heart. That's not obedience. You obey with a good heart. You obey because you know you're told to over and over and over and over and over again in the Bible, right? So many times in the Bible, you're told to do it. So that's what obedience is. If you don't do all three at the same time, you're disobeying, right? And what happens when you disobey at our house? There's consequences. That's just the way it is, right? And those things are known up front, so it's not a surprise, right? So, and like I said, we're using trash as an example. Come on, get real. Okay, let's use anything as an example. I need you to be home at 9 o'clock, no later. They show up at 9:01, there are issues. What's a minute, Mom? It's disobedience, son, right? Whatever it is, take it to any... Because Dad's the cool one. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, It's three things, right? So that's what obedience is. So we're getting close to being out of time. The clock is fast. So okay, so Ephesians 6:1 says, Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well. Well-pleasing unto the Lord. Colossians 3:22, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Not with eye service as men pleases, but a singleness of heart, fearing God, right? Over and over again, we're told to obey. So we see these verses all the time, and I usually blow right through the obedience thing because it's like, okay, yeah, you need to obey. That's just the way it is. It's obedience. Do it. Well, what does that have to do with today? So here's a question I got for you, and I don't really even have time for you to give me your answers because we're out of time. So let me ask you this. Is there ever a time, because if there ever was a time, this may be it in this story, is there ever a time when you should not simply be obedient?
Yes.
When is it?
You have to obey God rather than telling you something to do wrong against the word of God that you have done.
Here's a couple of them that I wrote down. There might be more than this, but here's a couple of them. Eileen hit the first one right on the head. If what you're being told to do goes against your higher direct authority. When you know what God has to say about something, right, and you're being told to do it otherwise, right? If my boss was to tell me, hey, we need to start fudging the books for this side or the other, or I'm out. I'm not doing it, right? I'm out, right? Acts 5:29 says, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men, right? And you go back and look at the whole story if we had time, but if it ever goes completely against what God has told you to do in your convictions, then don't do it, right? Don't do it. Here's another one. And I know I'm moving quickly, but here's another one. If what you're being told to do will put you or someone else in physical danger, if it's going to put you in some sort of physical danger, obedience is out, right? If at work, I tell the guys, I know a lot of things we do are up in the air, high in the air. We're changing a screen, right? So say we're changing a screen. I'm like, hey, I need you to get there and get it done. I need a harness. We don't have time for a harness. You know, I know. Just be careful, right? Absolutely not. Not going to happen, right? That's another time where obedience is like, I'm not going to do it, right? You know, and we have labor laws and, you know, to keep from stuff like that happening. But that is another example of disobedience is okay. If it's going to put you in some sort of physical danger, what about like an abusive relationship, right? Well, you're supposed to submit to me, woman. Not if you're going to be beating on me, dude. Not going to happen, right? It's not going to happen. There are occasions where simple obedience is out, right? And so there may be more, but those are just a couple examples. I'm trying to hurry. Here's something to remember when it comes to obedience. God blesses it, right? God simply blesses obedience. And I could give you example and example and example in my life of he blesses obedience. Sometimes I'm like, I don't even understand how or why, but he just simply blesses it, right? If you're confused on whether you should do what you're being told to do, look at the consistency of God through the Bible, right? The Bible's all about delegated authority over and over and over again. So if you stay within that authority, generally you're pretty safe, right? You know, you use the umbrella example. Some people hate this example, you know. Stay within the umbrella, right? You step out of the umbrella and you get rained on, it's not my problem, right? It's my job to provide an umbrella, to provide protection. If you step out of it, it's on you, right? And, you know, some women are like, well, I can hold my own umbrella. You're right, you can. But is that what God told you to do, right? And we don't have to get into that argument or anything else. I mean, there's a lot that goes into that and I'm out of time, but stay within your delegated authority, right? At this point, mom says, only obey to Jacob. What do you do? I'm sure there are other ways you could have went about it, but I mean, at the end of the day, he only obeyed. Right or wrong, we'll figure it out when we get to heaven. God was going to bless it one way or another. He already said he was going to. Your delegated authority is like your covering, right? The Bible's all about delegated authority. And if you stay within it, you're safe, right? It's kind of like your covering, right? As a young lady, what is your covering? Dad, right? Dad is your covering. My daughter, I am her covering. young man wants to come and have a chat with my daughter, he's going to have a chat with me, right? I am her covering, right? What do we do in American culture before we want to marry a young lady? We generally go talk to dad, right? I want dad's blessing. Because if not, dad may show up to the wedding with a shotgun, right? I don't know, right? So we go and we talk to dad, right? That is her covering. We generally, for the most part, we stick to that. It's a cultural thing that we do, right? That is her covering. You know, also her covering would be the church, right? Or whatever, you know, that's why there's structure. That's why God put structure in the Bible. Maybe dad's not around. There's always someone to be a covering, right? Men, you have a covering as well. It is your pastor, right? We're all under Brian's covering, right? That's just the way it is. If you're obedient to your authority and something goes wrong, what happens? It always goes back to the guy who told you to do it, right? If Paige says, if somebody asks Paige to do something, I need to talk to Jason, right? And we decide this is what we're going to do. And if things go wrong, at the end of the day, what happens? It comes back on me. She's just doing what I told her to do, right? She's just following what the Bible tells her to do, right? For right or wrong, that's how it is. She's under her covering. And so real quick, I know I'm out of time, but in today's culture, we think of this covering thing as like, well, that's stupid, right? I'm a big girl. I'm a big boy. I can do things on my own. I don't need somebody overlooking me, micromanaging me, or whatever. Give me a break now, really. The covering thing, it's real, right? And I'll use a quick example, and I don't need any details, but when Lauren decided she wanted to go to India, right? One of the first things that Randy, as the missions pastor, and Brian, as her head pastor, after she had probably already talked to her father, right? Because that's her, I want to go do this. What was one of the first things they told you? You will not be under our covering because you're there and we're here and there is no protection. There is none of that, right? And that's a risk that you had to take. But without that covering, you never know what could happen, right? When you stay under that covering, there's definitely protection, right? There's protection in the covering. So that's about all I got to say about it in a very short amount of time. There's a lot of different ways this could have went down, right? But at the end of the day, this is how it went. And so he lied to dad, but God blessed it because he was being obedient. And by the end of the chapter, if you go back and read the rest of it, basically mom sends him off to her brother's house because his older brother's pretty hacked off about it, right? As expected. So, and there's consequences that come with it. And I can get you a list of them because there's a list. He doesn't ever see mom again after this, right? There are several things that happen because of this. So that's all I got. A little bit short, but what Jody had today was good. So praise the Lord. Let's pray, and we will get out of here. Father God, I love you, Lord. I thank you for the day. I thank you for this class, Lord. I pray that you just bless it. Bless the people in it, Lord. I pray that you just bless the word today as Brian preaches, that we would just be obedient to do it, Lord, as we're talking about obedience, Lord, that we would just hear your word and just obey it immediately with the right heart and exactly like you told us to do, Lord. So I just pray that you just send us out this week as lights in a dark world. In Christ's name, amen. See you guys next week.